Hey folks, this is an unusual episode for me. Rather than responding to questions about graduate school, postdoc, early career researching, and all these peri-scientific things that I tend to talk about, I responded to an interviewer performing an ethnographic survey about how researchers in bioengineering and bioengineering adjacent fields view certain controversial subjects like human modification. So I did not focus group test any of these answers. I did take out some of the blank spaces and the ums and ahs and the likes, which there were a lot of and there are a lot of still in here. But this is an otherwise pretty unvarnished view of my unrehearsed opinions about controversial topics. So hope you enjoy it. Would you be in favor of a prenatal treatment such that it would be possible for children to live 200 years? I am not comfortable with that because I don't see how the rollout could possibly be clean. There would be inequities that would persist for decades, even if one country had the Danish health service and other countries didn't. You would also have an issue like other prenatal interventions or perinatal interventions like circumcision, where maybe somebody learns later they don't want to live 200 years. They think that you know, 80 or whatever is fine, but they didn't have a choice. So I may be more supportive for a consenting adult to make that choice for themselves than I would be for a parent to make that choice about an unborn or a newborn child.
What if we could guarantee no inequities and anyone that would want it could allow their children to live 200 years?
I'm just not sure what underlying value system we're serving by wanting to live 200 years. It's not that attractive of a proposition to me, so I'm not, that counterpoint doesn't sway me.
Why wouldn't you want to live 200 years?
Social, spiritual, utility. What point are we trying to serve? What's the, to use a business term, what's the pain point, right? We want to see our you know, fifth generation grandchildren live. Is that the purpose?
Would you accept an intervention that would increase your cognitive capacities permanently?
Only if it were equitably distributed worldwide, not just in the United States or in a Western country. And even so, I would not be comfortable with doing that at the level of the germline. I know this is a hypothetical question, but it is hard for me to imagine enough of a mapping of the brain and consciousness, given that we don't even understand how consciousness appears, if anything, I would offer this intervention to, you know, people whose parents were not well off to correct, you know, inequities in society. I don't think I would do it at all, but it's hard for me to imagine the situation where for myself, I wish that I had a stronger memory. I mean, I wish that my short-term memory translated to my long-term memory. You know, I went from the hippocampus to the cortex or the cerebellum faster, you know, so that I remembered somebody's name 2 seconds after shaking their hand at a cocktail party. But I'm not comfortable with prenatal germline modifications to traits such as intelligence, but there may be other traits that I would be open to. Cystic fibrosis, sickle cell anemia, if those Huntington's disease, you'd be improving human well-being significantly.
Do you think all technological advancements improve society?
No. I think some technological improvements have improved society. I think that maybe technology ending around 1970, that was the 1940 to 1970 or 1890 to 1970, was probably the golden age of technology improving society. I think the washing machine and the dishwasher were fantastic. I think that solar energy is fantastic. I think that sanitation and vaccines have improved human well-being. I'm not sure that social media has improved well-being. In fact, there's a lot of evidence to say that it hasn't. I think we're going to wish that we had gone with the electric car when it was first invented. But I think we're on the right track now. I think that's the electrification is some people call it a defensive technology, but I don't really see it that way. I do see it as enabling. Computation overall has been a positive development. Yeah, I'll stop there because I know you have more you want to ask.
What would you change to improve society and human well-being if not to advance technology?
I think a revolution in the way we see ourselves in relation to each other and the natural environment and to history would improve our collective well-being as a species more so than would technological advancement.
What are the barriers to technological interventions to societal problems?
Constantly annoyed at the fact that despite publishing X number of papers in solar energy and so I do bio work, and I also do more like semiconductor type work. Despite my, what my creative output there, such as it is, the solutions to climate change and energy abundance are primarily political. They're primarily a policy decisions, not so much technological. I think that technologists tend to overvalue their own contributions to societal well-being.
What would you change about the human body if you could?
I wish that it weren't so fragile doing tasks that in principle it was evolved to do, like running, for example. Sleeping positions will create enormous health issues like lower back pain, shoulder pain, neck pain. There should have been selective pressures earlier on in our history that would make it so you didn't have to brush your teeth two times a day without food, which your teeth have evolved to chew, getting stuck in your occlusal surfaces. Then you lose the teeth, your jaw gets infected, and then all of a sudden you have a systemic infection. So there are things about the body's robustness I can understand carpal tunnel syndrome, and I'm not sitting with particularly good posture right now, sitting at a computer, which is unnatural, but there are natural things which we kind of suck at.
How do you respond to the idea that humans should live forever or take control over their own biology?
I become very cynical about the value system underlying a statement like that. What's the point? I see a narcissistic, arrogant, alpha male, chest beating kind of thing. I see a Silicon Valley bro culture, I want to live forever kind of thing. Like, why? I want to live a long, healthy life as well, but I definitely don't want to live forever. And I don't understand the obsession. I mean, is it because the next minute, the next day are going to be better than how we tend to experience life right now? I'm not moved by those arguments. I feel that they are a bit childish.
How about the idea that it is humanity's destiny to take control over its own biology?
I have a rather viscerally negative reaction to that statement. I think that there are a number of existential threats to humanity, not the least of which is climate change and the possibility for engineered pandemics and runaway AI that suggests to me that is not the way that attitude is contributing to potentially a sooner demise of the species than might otherwise occur naturally.
What do you regard as the appropriate relationship between humanity and the natural world?
Appreciation of the beauty of nature. I guess live in communion with nature. Within reason. I'm not, you know, camping is something I do once or twice a year. It's not, but I do feel that a connection to nature makes us more sympathetic to the destruction of animal species and also more sympathetic to each other. I think the widening, you know, circle of compassion or whatever you want to call it is intimately tied to our sense of our place in the world or on the earth.
Is it a good thing that the human species is limited biologically?
It's not a question of good or bad. This is what we got after, you know, 85 million of years of selective pressure. It hasn't, you know, some things annoy me, but there is a lot to be happy about. We can much more sophisticated cognition and language, social structures. There's a lot that's admirable. E.O. Wilson might have used the word eusocial species. We are similar to ants and bees, but we don't share as much genetic similarity as they do. We can live in societies of millions of individuals with violence that occurs that is a small fraction of what you would get if you had great apes or lions living together in similarly sized groups. It would be chaos. So I think we're pretty good the way we are, but it's kind of irrelevant.
Would you say that a human being is similar to a machine?
That's mostly accurate. You know, I could say that in a technical seminar in my field and not feel that I was being overly simplistic. Mostly it's historical connotation of what a machine is, machine built to accomplish a certain task, but human beings share many characteristics of machines. We take in and dissipate energy. We are more ordered than our surroundings. We have goals of some sort. The molecular machinery is much, orders of magnitude more sophisticated than any machine, but it's still electrostatics, quantum mechanics, energy dissipation.
Do you think science should seek to understand everything?
It is okay if we don't end up understanding every last thing how it works. If we don't know exactly what happened at the moment of the Big Bang, I think it's possible to live a completely fulfilled life. It would be nice to prevent another, you know, COVID-22. It would be nice to have blunted the effects of Hurricane Ian, or to suppress the beginnings of forest fires in California.
Should humans be modifying nature?
Nature can recover. The Amazon and the Bornean and Malaysian rainforests, Central Africa, you know, deforestation for palm oil crops being some of the most heartrending examples of modification of nature. I have the feeling that we're probably talking more about genetic CRISPR Cas9 stuff. I don't think we're smart enough to quote of genetic modification, because I look at other scenarios in which we've had human transformed nature and it hasn't always been positive.
Are there any biological species we should be modifying?
Plants, yes. Animals, no. I understand, you know, selective breeding has been used forever. We wouldn't have our nice, you know, house cats if they were not selectively bred. Okay, that's pretty benign. I think making tastier cattle, I'd rather that effort go into lab-grown meat. I'm a vegetarian for what it's worth. Plants, I disagree with other people whose opinions I respect and tend to agree with on other issues. I think if we had all organic crops, we'd have to change a lot about the way that land usage is done. We'd have to get rid of a lot of the corn and soybeans in the U.S. It would be much less efficient in many ways. Was Roundup Ready crops, are they really the worst thing? Probably not. I actually think that, my wife and I buy a lot of organics food, but it's mostly for the pesticide-free aspect, not the non-GMO. I don't think that's a big deal at all. When we talk about triaging risk, we're putting our family much more at risk by taking the car out of the driveway than we are by the, you know, minuscule chance that some GMO crop had some metabolite in it that was harmful to us. You know, when people die at the hospital, it's because of almost always a recognized, diagnosable illness that's in the physician's, you know, USMLE handbook that you can just look up, and that's 99% of death. No one dies because of some something that you tracked in the house because your shoes were dirty and you didn't take your shoes off at the door. And similarly, that's how I see GMOs and frankly even pesticides. Plants are a different category to me.
How does your work fit into the broader field of bioengineering?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Bioengineering is a big field. Technically, I think, you know, I'm in nanoengineering and chemical engineering, but I've had several NIH grants, and we do work at with human-machine interfaces. Mostly my work is trying to understand the tactile sense and how tactile objects appear in consciousness, stuff like that.